I asked a little handsome black boy what the word dream meant to him. A dream is something you hope will happen or come true someday, he said. I thought about that for a while, and I couldn't help but wonder what my great-great-great-grandmother may have hoped would happen someday. Did she have any dreams besides the ones that entertained or frightened her when she slept at night? Did she dream a different life where all were equal and none were her superiors? If she did have such dreams, I doubt she ever spoke of them. She could not dare to, because morning always came, and when she woke, her reality was there, waiting. My grandmother was jolted into that reality at 5 years old, an age when a little girl's world should be made entirely of dreams. She was a child, given to another child named Georgia as a birthday gift. Her owner snatched her from the only world she knew and thrust her into someone else's reality. It was a reality created by those she served. It was a reality in which black lives not only did not matter, they were practically invisible. For little Mary's fifth birthday, there were no gifts. There were no cakes, no candles to blow out, no wishes to make. For black folks in Miss Mary Scott's day, there was no time for wishes and dreams. Such things were probably dismissed as foolish. What use were dreams? There wasn't another life to dream about. This was the only life, and it was as good as things were going to get. In absence of any other life, my grandmother became devoted to someone else's and dared not dream of a life of her own. Her reality was to serve, to remain invisible and obedient, so she could live to see another day. This picture shows a beautiful black woman, her face weathered, smiling her ancient smile down at a tiny white baby. All her life, she worked for privileged white people who called her simply Aunt Mary. Because of her skin color, nobody deemed her significant enough to carry a handle, to bear her own name. Who could fathom a world that could really see her, a world that could call her by her full name, Miss Mary Jane Fairfield Hodges Perlina Green Scott, a world that would bother to photograph her smiling down at her own babies and grandbabies? Could my grandmother dream in a world that could not even speak her full name? A world to whom she, as a category, did not matter? No doubt my grandmother learned quickly that her place in society was insignificant. No doubt she learned to live inside her invisibility, easing around her owners, who transformed at some point into her employers, quietly, almost mute, because she had to survive. She had to remain in existence for the babies at home, waiting for her meager earnings or any leftovers the good white folks allowed her to take home with her, exiting, of course, through the all-too-visible back door. Her survival was imperative, you see, because though she may never have shared her dreams with anyone, she may indeed have wished her for some things to be better, better at least for her babies one distant day. And though we are generations apart, I live in a society that still struggles with equality among the races. So who better to give Miss Mary Scott a voice than the baby of one of her grandbabies, who also lived quietly as a little black girl in the South, who also was uncertain of herself and her potential, but always had the audacity to just dream. I can give voice to many of the same fears she must have felt, the not hoping but praying that my black sons, who will someday be black men, will know how to stay alive if ever approached by those who have rule over them. Or wondering, even for myself, if I will always behave appropriately so I will not be unjustly penalized for being a vocal black woman. My grandmother could not be a vocal black woman in her time, but please do not mistake her quiet civility for weakness. On the contrary, it was her quiet strength that allowed her to survive each day and to go home one more time to her own reality, to the one place where her voice could be heard and her name could be spoken. No doubt she loved, and nurtured her own babies the best she knew how. For that, I owe her everything. And I am deeply proud, because that same power, the power of silence and humility, has fueled her children and her children's children to arrive in this very moment. If I possess a fragment of her might, even in my most quiet moments, I'm still her voice. And as for that little black boy, my firstborn son, who shared his meaning of dream with me, I wish for better days for him and all my children. May that hope extend far beyond the realms of their imaginations, but also transform into their reality, a reality lived without limits.